Well, I think first of all, on Father's Day, the first thing that we should all acknowledge is our Heavenly Father. I think it's important for us to set that as the foundation of where we are with fathers. That being said, I would like to read Scripture. Our Scripture reading for this morning is from Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And be prepared. This is just the start of what I'm going to read to you from Proverbs. Okay. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, "Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Or you could also read that, and it is read sometimes, "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." Or you can read that, "Whatever else you get wisdom." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. And I have one more scripture from Proverbs to add to those you've printed, you have there printed before you this morning. And possibly we should have started with this one. That's so similar to where we started with Proverbs 4:1. This is Proverbs 1:8. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." And I'm going to stop right there to point out something that we often do. We find a scripture verse that says what we want, but it has more to the verse. And so we take that part out that suits us. And that's what I just did. And of course, I did that because it's Father's Day, and my emphasis is on fathers, all fathers, a very special classification of manhood with distinct roles in life as given by God and as your spiritual leader, by default, I would say, as pastor. I wish to all of you fellows out there a very special and honored Father's Day. But in the spirit of fairness, here's the rest of that verse, Proverbs 1:8. "And do not forsake your mother's teaching." And mothers, sweet mothers, I meant no harm in leaving off that last phrase, because I believe one of the greatest needs of our American society today, as the absolute of needs, is homes with two parents present and accounted for, father and mother. Those two, for the sake of growing decent and upright children into well-disciplined and mannered adulthood. Now, the great apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addressed the Christians in Ephesus on family relationships and family roles. And of course, it was not only for the Ephesians. It was for all children of God, including us today. Toward the end of chapter 5 in the Ephesian scriptures, he gave special attention and significant attention and space to the very special relationship between a husband and wife. And I think we should all review that from time to time in our family devotions. Then, as chapter 6 begins, there are these special and instructive words for children, and especially for fathers and their role and responsibility. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What he quoted there was from the record of the Ten Commandments that we find in Deuteronomy 5. That one is verse 16. He goes on to say, now listen carefully, and I want you to listen carefully and very fully to verse 4. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, fathers, I deeply believe that the Scriptures, that the Word of God teaches us that a father has a particular role in a family, a particular role to his children, to the ones that he has fathered. The Bible clearly teaches us that the father's role is that of authority. We say that, and we understand that, realizing, however, that authority is always accompanied by responsibility. And so the emphasis of my message this morning is on responsible parental relationships of the father with his children. By the way, before I go on, there are all sorts of ideas about this day that we set aside as Father's Day. I'm not going to go into a lot of those, such as, how do you really spell it? Is it F-A-T-H-E-R-S with no apostrophe? Or is it F-A-T-H-E-R apostrophe S with that apostrophe in the S? In other words, is it all fathers? That would be with no apostrophe in there. Or does it belong to a father, as it would with the possessive use of the apostrophe S? Well, the fact is, when it was made an officially recognized holiday by act of Congress, it was adopted as F-A-T-H-E-R apostrophe S, meaning a day belonging to dads. I don't know whether they meant it that way or not, but that's what it means. Coincidentally, adopted by a group of people who were all of the male gender. Imagine that. And one more silly fact for today. Many people tend to think of these holidays as a special invention of Hallmark cards. Well, you know how that goes. But here's a newsflash. The origin of the greeting card may very well go back almost 4,000 years. Archaeologists some time ago unearthed a clay tablet, sort of a greeting card given to his father by a Babylonian son named El-Mesus, with the carved out in the clay message wishing his father good health and a long life. How about that? Well, so much for that. Let's go on to the important biblical teachings on fatherhood. A father is to teach his children. Well, let's be honest now, in the arenas of morals and religion and ethics, the task of teaching those to children has been pretty much relegated to the mother, and maybe to the church, or in bygone days, even to the public educational system. Well, a couple of regretful things about that last statement, but these are true. I included the church doing some of that teaching, but in too many instances, families no longer bring their children to church. Case in point, our own Sunday school and worship. That is our children's church. Did you notice all the children leaving for children's church? We have no young families right now, no children. And I included the public schools. But I did say in bygone days, because today it is absolutely not politically correct for the public school to teach religion or morals or by default even ethics. What has happened to us in America? It's so sad. With the book of Proverbs, most of it written by King Solomon, recognized by virtually everyone as the wisest man who ever lived. Incidentally, because God chose to make him so. This biblical book is full of instruction of wisdom addressed to the role and responsibility of a father. And so this great book, which is God's inspired word through Solomon, teaches us that it is definitely a responsibility of a father to be an instructor to his children. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. There's a passage that I added when I read the scripture this morning. That was Proverbs 1:8. But again, it was repetition of good instruction. And what was good for chapter 1, verse 8, is good once again in chapter 4, verse 1. Or chapter 1, verse 8, good in chapter 4, verse 1. The first verse of our scripture text this morning says that the son is to listen to what his father teaches. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Now, as children are to hear, so the father is to instruct. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word training there indicates the necessity of a specific discipline through and with teaching. A child thoroughly taught never departs from such training. Well, maybe in the rebellious years between about 13 and 38, but when they do settle down, they return to disciplined training. And some, very thankfully, before they get to 38, but some not. But children then, for the most part, are true products of the home. Whatever that home, and especially that dad, is leading out in training and in teaching. And for emphasis, I would add the age-old instruction of Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. Instructions, I would hasten to add, that were intended for the father, the head of the household in that male-dominant society of Israel. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, that is to be on the father's hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I do not think it could be more clear. The Bible, God's authoritative word, teaches that a primary role and a responsibility of the father is to instruct and to teach his children. The Bible likewise is clear on what he is to teach. So what's the curriculum for fathers? The father is to teach, first of all, the divine word. Proverbs 4:4, he, his father, taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. You see, Solomon understood that his words, his wisdom, were taught to him by his father, David, the man after God's own heart. David's words were from God, and his commands were God's commands. Thus, it was with holy confidence that he could so instruct Solomon. And just so, Solomon could confidently pass that on to his children, God's words and God's commands. The words instilled in a child's heart then, and God's word instilled now, results in true wisdom. The great Proverbs writer continued his own wisdom about wisdom, saying, she, that is wisdom, will exalt you, embrace her, and she will honor you. That's verse 8. That's the next verse after the end of our text for this morning, verse 7. And a few more verses down in that chapter, in chapter 4, verse 12, says this, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered, When you run, you will not stumble. In other words, the child who is properly instructed walks in the right paths and does so without obstructions or without a stumbling. Thus, the Bible teaching is that all of these excellent results for a child's life and for a child's maturity hinge on the father's training and teaching. Is it possible? No, probable that much, if not most, of the recklessness and disorder that we see in today's younger generation, particularly young men of today, is due to the absence of a father in many, many homes of the past decade or two. And additionally, the decline of church attendance in that same period of time, and thus lack of exposure of growing children to God's Word. Is that possible that maybe those are problems? Indeed, as was the wisdom of King Solomon, wisdom he had from God, we need fathers who are going to teach their children the Word of God. Additionally, a father is to teach his children to be industrious. That's a great teaching from Proverbs 10:5, which says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." Now look at three ideas in this brief but jam-packed verse: preparation, opportunity, and industry. This concept is couched in terms of a harvest, and a good harvest comes only as a result of preparation and hard work. So the first thought, preparation. And once the harvest is ready, one must be alert to seize the best opportunity for bringing it in. Second thought, opportunity. And the third of these thoughts involved in a harvest, bring it in. Harvest it. And that takes industry, or in other words, productiveness. And almost without exception, a son's ability to know how to prepare and to seize his opportunity and to practice industry to be productive stems largely from his father's life examples. Industrious fathers usually see the same characteristics in their offspring. Fathers basically teach it by modeling it. And a major part of the father's good training of his children involves correction and significant punishment where necessary. Proverbs 29:15. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces his mother. And I'm pretty sure he also meant he disgraces his father. And also verse 17, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. The teaching of Proverbs concerning child rearing and the role of disciplinary action is a sharp contrast to the permissiveness of our day, at home and elsewhere. And by the way, I would suggest that you not read or repeat any of this to any representative of one of the great problems of our day. They think they're doing the right thing, but in many cases they're missing the boat entirely. And that would be the Department of Child and Family Services. Don't read these verses to them. Here's some more. These verses are abundant in the Holy Book. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. And chapter 23, verse 13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Don't read any of that to Child and Family Services. I could give you more, but you get the idea. I suspect you already got it. In fact, in all of this, a father should teach by a good and disciplined example. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." It isn't exactly stated what that inheritance is, but we may assume it to be righteousness and character, since he is a good man. And Proverbs 17:6 follows that by stating that children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. And those fathers, following the thoughts of Proverbs, would be the good men, fathers who have set a good example. Children, good, wise, industrious children, those are the results of these guidelines from God's words. When a father accepts the responsibility to teach his children, and when he teaches them the right things, he may expect to see the following results. You see, Proverbs not only instructs and points the way, the wisdom of the Proverbs chronicler delivers the promise of results for the diligence of the father. Proverbs 15:20 says he will know the joy of a wise son. Listen happily to that verse. A wise son brings joy to his father. And Proverbs 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart, that's the father's heart, will be glad indeed. And also in Proverbs 23, verse 24, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. And Proverbs 28:7 and Proverbs 29:3 reflect the same idea. A joyful father because his son has developed wisdom. So I'd say Father's Day is a great day for a father to have the joy of a wise son. What a great day it would be. You know, we've heard this good old axiom, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And just so, we by no means should deny the important role of motherhood and her hand on the cradle. However, Proverbs presents the father's role in child rearing as very, very important. And as we honor fathers in a special way on this very significant day, we also give the biblical reminder and the biblical response that it is the father's duty and role and responsibility, in any other way that I might say it, the father's job in life is to take the lead. Let this be the day. We who are present as fathers, let us renew our response to God to be thankful for the children he has given to us, and to keep on with our great responsibilities, and then receive the joy that comes from being a good and godly dad. The greatest example, as I've said, that we have is our Father, our Heavenly Father, whose great joy is his Son, Jesus.